You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, folks, to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. We are in the middle of Confederate History Month this Saturday evening, April 12th, thanks to Courtney from Alabama, who helped us celebrate that second hour in tribute to the South, and of course Kevin McDonald, who opened things up for us tonight. It's been a good show, a busy show, as it always is. We are, as of this moment, folks, once again officially minted as a top 10 radio show in the United States of America tonight in terms of our current listenership. And folks, you make it all happen. We hope that you love this show as much as we love bringing it to you each and every week. You know, we say the word love around here a lot because it's very appropriate. Everything that we do here is motivated from a good place, from a position of love. Love is the emotion that motivates us to take action in defense of our family and our heritage. And certainly, we don't seek to dispossess or do wrong to members of other families, but we don't want our family to be taken advantage of either or wronged. And so we mobilize in their defense, even though it is said by our detractors and the elites that run things for us that it is, you know, not right to stand in defense of your family if that family is of European descent. Well, we have freed ourselves from that taboo. We have freed ourselves from those chains a long, long time ago. Chris from Alaska, been waiting nearly an hour to get on the air with us, and we thank him so much for being so patient. Chris, welcome back to the broadcast. What's on your mind tonight, my friend?
Well, first of all, I have no problem waiting for someone who's obviously probably much more attractive in person as well as on the radio than I am. That's just Courtney. probably much more attractive in person than you as well, James.
James might take issue with that, but I can tell you she's got more hair on her head than James does.
I wanted to last week I called and talked about how the forces behind the current liberal hegemony that oppresses our people, whether they live in Alaska or Florida or anywhere. Really, I'm just talking about white Christians. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where you're from. Are the same forces that were behind the Civil War. And I was thinking of a quote that I just ran into on Faith and Heritage. It's from Presbyterian pastor James Henry Thornwell in 1850, and he said, quote, "The parties in this conflict are not merely abolitionists and slaveholders. They are atheists, socialists, communists, red Republicans, Jacobins on one side, and the friends of order and regulated freedom on the other. In one word, the world is the battleground. Christianity and atheism are the combatants, and the progress of humanity is at stake," unquote. And really, Reconstruction in the 1860s and 70s, and the Civil Rights Movement in the 60s, and now the Obamaization of America, they're all really one conflict. And it's the, you know, atheist Unitarians, the Jacobins, the radical Republicans from like the French Revolution, who hated the church and hated Christianity, on one side, and Christian order and civilization on the other.
And that you make a great point, Chris. This is Keith Alexander. You know, one of our unofficial mottos of this show is that liberalism is the modern face of evil. It is. It is opposed to everything associated with our traditional culture, including the Christian faith, including, you know, normal natural sex roles. Everything, you know, you look at every initiative of the left, from the civil rights movement to radical feminism to environmentalism to gay rights to illegal immigration to the criminal rights revolution to the drug culture to the sexual revolution. None of these was a pet project of the John Birch Society. They all came from the political left. The political left, as we know it today, was spawned in the French Revolution and in the French Enlightenment. And the French Enlightenment was decidedly anti-Christian and anti-clerical in its animus. For example, Voltaire, who is probably the leading light of the French Enlightenment, used to sign his letters, La Race Infâme, erase the infamous thing, the church. Diderot, who was kind of like a second-tier philosophe from the French Enlightenment, was noted to say, mankind will not be truly free until the last monarch is strangled with the entrails. That would be the intestines of the last priest. So that shows you where they stood towards the clergy and towards the Christian faith. And the more things change, the more they stay the same. To this day, the left is truly opposed to Christianity. That's why we say, another thing we say is that liberal Christianity is an oxymoron. You can't be a liberal and a Christian. There are certain things that liberalism would like to borrow from Christianity, like, for example, good shepherd, feed my sheep, or beat your swords into plowshares. But whenever the Bible says something that the left doesn't agree with, leftism always triumphs. For example, when the Bible says man shall not sleep with another man is with a woman, or a woman with another woman is with a man, it is an abomination in my eyes, saith the Lord. Suddenly, any discussion from a liberal about the Bible will follow along these lines, that the Bible is some ancient antique book written by a bunch of dusty Bedouins that needs to be improved by smart people like us.
Keith, of course, you're right. And the thing that caused the devil to fall is the devil said, non serviam, I will not serve. And as Courtney pointed out, basically liberal women are saying, I will not serve. All liberalism boils down to women don't want to act like women, men don't want to act like men.
And they all want to rebel against God's order, God's natural order.
That's right. And so the cause of the South isn't just the cause of Southerners in Tennessee or Mississippi or Alabama or Georgia. It's the cause of everyone everywhere who loves freedom, loves the church, and frankly wants them to continue. And you'll see in Uganda they're passing laws against homosexuality.
Yeah, right. We talked about that on this show. Uganda has even gotten a morally become morally superior.
It's the cause of all good people everywhere, and that's y'all are keeping the faith and keeping the flame alive. And I just wanted to chime in with that and say thank you once again for continuing this series. It's vitally important we remember our heroes, especially those that are being trashed every day in the schools and in the culture.
Chris, thank you so much, brother, for the endorsement and the kind words. And certainly you speak from a position of authority all the way up in Alaska, talking about how the Southern cause is everyone's cause. Coming from you, that certainly carries weight. And it's always great to hear from you when you call in. Yeah, you always make for great commentary. And we'll look forward to the
Thank
next time.
Sir.
All right. Well, Keith, what can you say to that? I mean, once again, the cesspool audience doesn't disappoint when it comes to their ability to reason and their high intellect.
Well, that's probably as far a northern latitude person as we're ever going to hear from, except for the people from Scandinavia, people from Alaska. But that shows that good-thinking, right-thinking people are to be found everywhere. We want you to come to Red State America, where you can be among like-minded people and friends.
We're going to take a break, folks. More to come. Stay tuned.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Coming down to the home stretch here. Just a couple of segments remain in tonight's live broadcast. Back with you next week, as always, as we have done for 10 years. You can count on us. Now, this story is a little dated. You can find it on our website. I think this was actually from last year, but it was news to me, so maybe it'll be news to you, too, and we can still use it as a teachable moment just because the dateline didn't read this week. It's still... is still worthy of coverage here on the show. Apparently, some Americans were shocked and horrified when they tuned in to a recent Miss Universe pageant and saw that South Africa's candidate was white. This is the story. She won Miss South Africa, and then when she competed in the Miss Universe pageant, which was broadcast here in the United States, that's when the you-know-what hit the fan. A white girl representing South Africa was the most jarring thing for some beauty pageant watchers to witness when the blue-eyed former Miss South Africa, Melinda Bam, took to the Miss Universe stage at the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. She triggered a social media buzz. Her appearance sparked an avalanche of comments, mostly from African-American viewers during the pageant, which was streamed live online. Here are some of the comments. When I saw Miss South Africa, I thought, if she's from Africa, why is she white? Another comment. When Miss South Africa came on, my mom was like, why is she white? Another, I can't believe Miss South Africa is white. My dad asked me why Miss South Africa is white if she's from Africa. It just goes on. Miss Universe, South Africa's interview question should have been, if you're from Africa, why are you white? Another one, why isn't Miss South Africa black? There's a little variation. How about this, though? The disbelief sparked a conspiracy theory of its own. One tweet, Donald Trump, who administers the Miss Universe pageant, hates Obama so much that he chose a white chick to represent South Africa. Say no to racism. And then finally, Miss South Africa being white isn't surprising. Racism is rampant. Now, you look at this woman. You take a look at her for a half a second, and you know why she won. She's beautiful. But I would expect nothing else but woeful ignorance from the general public, and I'm very rarely let down. But it just goes to show, again, Keith, and this circles back to, I guess, what we're talking about at the very top of the show 2 hours ago, Hank Aaron saying, you know, if you're a Republican, you are a Klansman in his eyes. You know, you're racist.
this only racism could be the reason why this woman won the contest in South Africa to represent her nation in the Miss Universe pageant. And of course, the media doesn't take this as an opportunity to talk about the true racism and genocide that is happening in South Africa, and it is black on white, of course.
Well, where is Eddie Miller when we need him? I'm sure he could go spin us all out into the ditch laughing with a comment on this, but it's obvious this is a beauty contest, and this is a beautiful woman. And she obviously won the contest fair and square because, hello, black America, South Africa is ruled by and dominated by blacks. If they were racist, they wouldn't have, she's apparently even to the black cognoscenti of South Africa, the most beautiful of the contestants. So she was chosen. Give the black government of South Africa credit for giving credit where credit is due. On the other hand, shame on these race hustlers, these racist people in America who would presume that regardless of her physical attributes, that the winner or the representative of South Africa has to be black. They have white people in South Africa, even though they have a smaller and smaller number every year. And this woman was apparently chosen to be the most beautiful one in South Africa. Let me tell you this, if she's not welcome in South Africa, and I'm sure she is, she can more, we'd be glad to welcome her here down in the American South, wouldn't we, Jay?
No comment, Keith, but no, listen, but here's the thing. Of course, the double standard, and there's always one to be had in any story with a racial animus, and that is, where is the outcry and the feigned rage when a black Miss America, Miss America presents a black or some other non-white or in another majority European nation, a black person is pronounced the winner. You certainly don't get any of this. And of course, the media rubber stamped Hank Aaron's comments about Republicans being like Klansmen and just went back and instantly started talking about that he supposedly probably wasn't even true. Got death threats, back in the day, and just basically sanctioned his comments here. It would have been appropriate for them to talk about the brutality that white South Africaners face in that country at the hand of black mobs and thugs. Here you play the knockout game, you get roughed up. I mean, yes, there's black and white murders here, and it's rampant, but not nearly to the extent that you see it in South Africa. But the media doesn't do that at all in this case. It talks about the sordid history of South Africa in beauty pageants, saying that in apartheid, it used to send two representatives, one black and one white, to Miss World. Well, they still sent a black representative, didn't they? What are they complaining about here, Keith?
Well, I've seen her picture, and I have no doubt or I have no problem believing that she might be the most beautiful beauty contestant in South Africa. Let me just say that there's no question about that in my mind. Now, some people just can't live with reality, unfortunately. Everything is a racial issue. Unfortunately, that's the new brave new world of liberalism that we live in today. But on the other hand, it's incredible to me to use a quote from Eddie Miller one time, this ain't no barroom queen, right?
No, not at all. And to wrap this thing up, folks, I might want to mention that if you are curious to find out for yourself just what this beauty contest participant looks like, again, her name is, it's in my notes here somewhere. Come on, Melinda Bam. Just go to our website. I picked a great picture of her, I think, to post there. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. Miss South Africa is the title. You can't miss that. They're in the blog roll. You can take a look for yourself and see if you can figure out why this girl was named Miss South Africa. And tell me if you think it was a result of racism
or miscarriage of justice.
There's a lot of miscarriages of justice in South Africa that still take place to this day, but this ain't one of them. So anyway, check that out. Again, this happened. This was actually a year or two ago when this occurred. But it still goes to show that anything and everything will pass as racism. Racism is anything that blacks don't like. is racism. A racist is a white person, and that's just all there is to it. And the same thing can be said on the flip side if you're talking about Jewish sensibilities. Anti-Semitism is anything they don't like. Objective criticism being one great example. You know, and any Gentile that you know wants to debate the virtues of Jewish power and influence or lack thereof is an anti-Semite, and that's what's going on here. So this is just another one for the files there of what is and what isn't racism in 21st century America and beyond.
Yep. I'm telling you, you know, the truth is racism, apparently, in today's world. And as James said in his book, Racism, Smacism, a racist is just a synonym for a white person.
Oh, by the way, folks, I want to tell you this while we're plugging some of the articles that have appeared on our website this week. This, of course, being one of them. History of the Confederate flag. You know, we're talking about Confederate History Month. We didn't get into it tonight. But the history of the Confederate flag, a short history of the Confederate flag, you can read there. And also, one of the best columns Pat Buchanan ever wrote, truly, Hatred of the South is Hatred of America. Read that one. I would say if you read one article that we posted this week, let that be the one. Hatred of the South is Hatred of America by Pat Buchanan, a totally pro-Southern piece and totally truthful piece. Yes, absolutely, Keith, by Buchanan that is timely for Confederate History Month. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key.
Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool, everyone. It's my honor now to welcome to the show a surprise guest who we were able to connect with during the commercial break. He is Kurt Crosby, who will be no stranger to fans of the Liberty Roundtable broadcast. He is Sam Bushman's co-host on that show. And, of course, Sam and Kurt do an incredible job presenting the issues each and every weekday here on this network, Monday through Friday in the morning. You can catch them for 2 hours. And they are in the midst of keeping tabs on an incredibly significant development, a continuing developing story, taking place in Nevada, certainly something we want to bring our audience's attention to this evening. Kurt, welcome to the show for the first time.
Well, thank you, James, and you know, it's always a pleasure being with you. We appreciate your monthly visits with us. I apologize that Sam finds himself right in the middle of a broadcast, and so I stepped in the other room. We are in the state of Missouri right now, even though we're talking about Nevada as we gallivant, I guess, through the Midwest, and we'll be having an event about a little less than a week from now in Springfield, Illinois. But as you mentioned, this very important event that has happened over the last few days in the Mesquite, Nevada, Bunkerville, Nevada area, where a longtime rancher has been, well, in my opinion, bullied by the Bureau of Land Management. This is an entity of our federal government that was set up years ago, I guess it was the 1940s, as I understand, to basically, well, the intended release or effort, they said at that time, was to help these farmers and ranchers manage their grazing areas. Well, at the same time, you'll find out that little by little, the, quote, management really meant to control these wide open spaces that were many times, like in this rancher's case, the guy's name is Cliven Bundy. This, quote, allotment, or whatever you want to call it, had been where he put his cattle, had been in the family since the 1800s. Way before even the Bureau of Land Management ever existed. And so then what you had was that finally they had screwed down things tight enough that they brought in federal agents, as many as reported in some areas, about 200, even including snipers, et cetera, around to, I guess, they wanted to get these evil cattle that were trespassing, they said. And a lot of this had to do with this desert tortoise issue, and that's what you see in so many cases these days. Some bug or animal or whatever will be identified as something supremely important, much more than most Americans value. And so then we must eliminate the Americans almost and save it for the bugs, or in this case, the turtles. But the good news is, you know, the best news is what has finally happened. Many people have rallied to their defense, and the Bureau of Land Management has finally backed off. Even the local sheriff, that happens to be the sheriff that is in the county where Las Vegas is, has shown up and said, hey, we're not going to do this anymore. And the federal boys have gone home, and it looks to me like at least some common sense has prevailed, and, you know, in my opinion, it's a very great day for that.
Well, Kurt, this is, as I said, and thank you for that great breakdown of what's happening so far. Certainly, you know, I guess the federal government is of the opinion that cattle ranchers in the West just couldn't manage without their help and oversight, which, of course, we know is folly. But this is a huge story for so many different reasons, and it's one that, at least right now, we the people have won it. We the people have actually, at least in this round, and they may come back and they may come back stronger, but the rights and freedoms of an individual have trumped the will of the federal government, at least at this moment. I'm going to toss it over to my co-host, Kurt Keith Alexander. But this, of course, folks, is not a story like so many we present on our program that perhaps you wouldn't have heard about anywhere else. You might not get the same exact take on this story on other networks, but everybody's talking about this. And I mean everybody, all the way up to CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, all the alphabet soup nightly shows. This is a story that is perhaps, I think, without question, not perhaps, but without question, the biggest news story in the country right now. And Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby have been covering it. Kurt Crosby with us right now from a constitutionalist perspective. Certainly our perspective on their show. So it's a hard thing to do to take a story of this scope and break it down in a single segment of radio as we're attempting to do right now with Kurt. But folks, if you want to get all the details, Sam and Kurt have been talking about it extensively on their broadcast, and you can check that out at libertyroundtable.com. Kurt, if you will, hang on just a second. I'm going to toss it over to Keith.
Kurt, Keith Alexander, how are you?
Thank you. It's sure good to hear your voice, and we appreciate your great work.
Well, thank you so much, and back at you. We appreciate yours. Let me ask you this. We've heard some reports down here that Harry Reid may be carrying water for the Chinese government, and that's the secret reason why they were coveting Rancher Bundy's ranch, that the Chinese wanted to build some type of solar farm. Is there any truth to that rumor, or what's going on about that?
Well, there's some quite a few reports. I don't know on a personal basis, but I'm talking about a number of media sources have reported that they basically have some connection to a large intended solar electricity area for that named area, and so that was kind of what you'd say was behind a lot of this. Now, you know, I know it's it would be a big stretch to think our honorable leader of the Senate would ever stoop to such, well, behind the scenes money changing kind of ideas. But you know, all I can say is, isn't it sad that we almost expect that that's what has happened. One other thing I wanted to bring up, Keith, and I sure appreciate your bringing that point up, and I forgot to mention it, but another thing to remember is this is what some would call the weekend, and many times people, the average American, kind of takes the weekend off from news, if you will, and I bet people, if you're watching this closely, you might find that when Monday comes around, many of these folks that are watching it kind of carefully at this time or a little bit earlier will have, quote, gone on. In fact, I think there's an earthquake that's been reported just recently in the Solomon Islands, and something like that is a lot more, what would you say, big media friendly, because this kind of story, I think they'd love to bury, but
they'll conveniently find the Malaysian airline black box on Monday morning. You wait and see
what
could happen. Well, again, Kurt, I know that you are in the midst of a week long series of public appearances, traveling, traversing the nation, as you and Sam so do. I tell you what, we talk about the vigor score. I've never seen two people with as much energy and enthusiasm for the issues as Sam and Kurt do, and they are on the road tonight, and this was not originally a topic that we had prepared ourselves to present, but when the opportunity presented itself to have either Sam or Kurt on, we certainly want to jump at that, even if only for a few minutes, to at least register a thought or an opinion on the matter, which again I believe is not only the most significant but certainly the biggest news story in the country this week.
Everybody's talking about it now, so have we. And I'm sure, Kurt, you and Sam will continue to do so next week on the Liberty Roundtable show. Again, folks, libertyroundtable.com. This thing is not over. You know, right now it would appear as though things have reached a favorable resolution, but next week things could turn again, so we got to remain eternally vigilant. Kurt, a final word to you on this.
You're exactly right, and I would simply say one other thing. Sam and I, speaking of vigor, we're looking forward to the 10th anniversary celebration coming up this fall with you guys. So we appreciate the invite, and we're planning for that. And greetings to all the great folks involved with the political cesspool. It's just tremendous to be part of it.
Well, Kurt, we love y'all. Y'all are dear brothers to us and comrades in arms. And thanks again. And we can't wait to see you down here, give you a warm southern welcome. I guess we'll actually see you in Poplar Bluff, a little bit north of us here this week. We're going to come and have lunch with you guys, I think, on Thursday. Right, Keith? And then, of course, the big event as far as we're concerned in our little realm of the puzzle. This fall, as Kurt mentioned, in October in Memphis. So, Kurt, thanks again. Have a great rest of the night and continue to travel safely, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Folks, we got one more segment tonight, and it's coming your way right after this.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson, and it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
tell you what, folks, I'm going to have to get some jacuzzi therapy after this show. It's been a barn burner. Really has been, dare I say this word, on this particular broadcast, but a diverse show in terms of the topics we've been addressing and the guests that we've had, all of which have been outstanding, from Kevin McDonald in the first hour, Courtney in the second hour, and then, of course, Kurt Crosby there giving us a quick update from the road on what is a major story that continues to unfold as we speak. Eddie the Bombardier Miller not here tonight. Keith Alexander with us for the entire 3 hours. It's been a while since we've had Keith for the entire broadcast, and it's been great. Anytime we can have extended play with Keith, the show soars. Not that it doesn't when Eddie is in, but Eddie is at the casino tonight, taking a week off, trying to raise some money for our work there at the craps table. Right, Keith? Trying to have a unique method of fundraising. We will we'll try anything. So Eddie went on down there and is rolling the dice. He is a craps man. Eddie still actually, though, may be recovering from all that cake we had at his birthday party last week. Right, Keith? Eddie indulged, to say the least, with some chocolate cupcakes from the Peabody Bakery, which is the South's Grand Hotel, located here in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. The Peabody, very well-known establishment. Lots and lots of chocolate cake. Keith Alexander was there. Had a good time celebrating Eddie Miller's 67th birthday down in Harbortown, the Harbortown area, on the banks of the Mississippi River last week at Paulette's Restaurant. What can you tell us about that particular night, Keith?
I better plead the Fifth Amendment. That was wild. We had a great time. Eddie and his family are wonderful, and we had a it was a good thing they had us in a separate room, let me say that, because things got a little raucous, but it was great. It was a lot of fun, and we all enjoyed it's one of Eddie's favorite restaurants, and Eddie, I have to say that Eddie has excellent taste in food and in other things, and this was no exception. He probably picked one of my favorite restaurants in Memphis to have his birthday celebration in, so we were very honored and pleased to be able to celebrate with Eddie.
One thing about Keith and Eddie when it comes to their selection of restaurants, it's going to be as far away from my house as it could possibly be. When they pick, it's going to be in Arkansas, it's going to be downtown, it's going to be in North Mississippi, yes indeed. But they are connoisseurs of fine eateries. And women, yes. Right, Keith asked me to say that, of course. But it's true. It's true. Whereas I, on the other hand, there's four restaurants that I go to. Right? They're all within walking distance of my house.
Yeah, that's it. You know, the truth is, I don't know what it is, but our boy here has a an enduring love for his hometown Bartlett that surpasses all other. He has what he calls his box turtle range. He does not like to wander outside the boundaries of Bartlett. And if he does, usually somebody's paying him to do it, right?
That's right. Now, if the Trailblazers are in town, I might venture down to the FedEx Forum and watch them beat the Grizzlies or something like that, or on the rare occasion. You know, I like to travel. I love to travel. I just don't like to travel when I'm at home. When I'm at home, I like to stay at home. You know, eat local, support local. That's one of the slogans here, right, Keith, in Memphis?
Yeah, he's kind of a bobo, a bourgeois bohemian. He likes to walk to places rather than drive his car. So, that you know, he is an unusual member of the younger generation. But nonetheless, of course, that goes without saying, he wouldn't be hosting this show if he was the standard issue Generation Xer, right?
Well, that's absolutely right, Keith, and that made me think again of young people doing God's work, talking about Courtney. You know, Kurt mentioned it again, and folks, you will receive a formal invitation soon in the mail before the calendar flips to May, inviting you to join us for this 10-year anniversary. It is going to be an event the likes of which you'll never forget. It's a historic event. That's what one of our contributors from Arkansas called it. The formal invitation soon to be dispatched, and space is limited. So when you get it, and you will get it, this month, you need to act quickly. And the only reason I bring that up is that in addition to meeting the Cesspool hosting staff and people like Kirk Crosby and Sam Bushman, you're going to meet Courtney from Alabama. Now, that in and of itself is worth the price of admission, which will be modest for something. This is a once-in-a-decade, an event 10 years in the making is what it is, celebrating 10 years on the air. It's a family reunion, not so much a conference per se, but a family reunion. We're going to do a live remote broadcast that everyone can enjoy. We're going to have great speakers, fun games, something for the entire family. Music, it's going to be something that if you are among the people in our audience that have gone to conferences before, say a Council of Conservative Citizens meeting, as great as those are great, an American Renaissance meeting, it's going to be different than that. Not better, but just different. And it's going to be a celebration of what this show has meant to so many people, a family reunion, as I say, and we want as many family members as we can fit to come. I promise it'll be worth it. And keep that in mind, and when you get that letter, I ask you to be responsive, right, Keith?
Yes, give early and often. That's what you need to do, so we can, so we are not such an embarrassment to ourselves that we are in the top 10 of radio shows, but eking out an existence on $25 and $10 donations. We need to break into the stratosphere. This is one time in which I was Jewish, James. Right.
to harken back to that for a second time, but indeed, they do have an edge on us in fundraising, a slight one, I would say. But this isn't so much a fundraiser, though. It's we want you to come to Memphis and party with us. I mean, it's basically what we want you to come and celebrate. We want to hug your neck. You know, we were talking about that Southern culture and hospitality. We want you to know how much we appreciate. This is actually what it's going to be, is a celebration of the audience, of the show itself and the audience, and we'll be the host of it. You'll get more information in the mail. Don't want to give too much away here on the broadcast. That's still an event to be forthcoming, and you know, it's something that we need. You know, the opportunity to share fellowship and to be in the company of good, right-thinking, morally sound people, attractive people, wholesome people, intelligent people. It's just something that is a rarity in today's society. So many of us are isolated. We have been beaten down, not we as in our audience, but people who think like us in many instances have been beaten down to the point where they don't identify with others. They fear speaking out on these issues. Now, again, that's not our audience, but nevertheless, when an opportunity like this presents itself, it's one that I think people should take advantage of. did you read the article, Keith, on American Renaissance this week? I was mentioning American Renaissance. Their conference, by the way, is coming up in a couple of weeks. And the political cesspool will be represented there as well. Candid Camera for Our Times, written by Michael McGregor, which, by the way, was my uncle's name. He passed away far too young in his 50s, as so many men in my family do, it appears. Michael McGregor, you know, that you talk about Confederate ancestry and Southern ancestry. I mean, there you go, you know, from the sea-swept isles of the Scottish coast, you know, the McGregor family. Certainly that is my mother's maiden name. Michael McGregor writes about the show. We don't have a lot of time to get into it. It's like Candid Camera for Our Time. And he writes, in America, television has become our cultural glue, one of the few things nearly everyone shares. However, it's not a neutral zone where Americans can relax after work. It's ground zero for the liberal cultural offensive. And offensive is the best word to describe the new quote-unquote reality show, What Would You Do? It's a hidden camera program in which actors create awkward situations in public to see how people react. At the official website for the series, racism is the top category the program explores. Of course it is. Here are a couple of samples of scenes acted out in the presence of unsuspecting bystanders. Interracial couple, disapproving parents, friend disapproves of adopted daughter's race. Racial profiling played out for Arizona Diner, so on and so forth. This is what happens when actors put on the scene with the interracial couple. For instance, a young, pretty blonde woman meets her parents in the diner to show off her well-dressed, articulate black boyfriend and tell them that they're going to get married. The father loudly opposes. Now, keep in mind, the father is an actor. Loudly opposes the marriage, and customers stand up nobly to tell the father he's wrong. Everyone who intervenes is white, but then again, all the customers in the diner appear to be white. And even before the program begins, the introduction explains how any right-thinking American are expected to act. What would you do if you witnessed an interracial couple telling both sets of parents that they intended to get married, and instead of hearing a joyful, loving reception, you heard clear bigotry? And it goes on and on. There was one scene of a Mexican woman speaking Spanish in a restaurant. Someone told them that they should speak English in America. The TV crew puts a camera in the person's face, you know, after the gig is up, but it turns out to be actors, and asks them why they are so intolerant and so hateful, so on and so forth. Well, this is what passes as entertainment today. Cultural Marxism, browbeating nonsense. We are the antidote to this type of media here in the Political Cesspool, and we need your support. God bless y'all, folks. We'll be back next week.
Go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.